Thank you, Lord God. Thank God. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 2. Start there. We've been talking last few weeks about the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 2. It's probably on the back of your scripture sheet if you're looking at that. First Corinthians 2, verse 1. Everybody there? It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Hallelujah. This is how Paul ministered. He didn't come and say, "I have such and such, you know, learning and degrees, and I'm here to share with you everything that I've learned, and I'm eloquent," and all that. Doesn't say you can't be eloquent. But he's saying, "I did not put my focus on that. I did not rely on that. I came to you," he said, verse 4, "my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power." This is what we need in our lives. Your life will not be changed by somebody's ideas and philosophies that are men's. Your life won't be changed. Can you get a little bit of help? Yes, people do, but changed in the way you need it to be changed, and not with giving up other parts of your life. You know, you can change and be hurt in another area. People do it all the time. You know, they stop doing one thing, they start doing another thing, but then this other area goes down because it's not balanced. You can get somebody's ideas of how to change your life. That may have helped them, but you're a unique individual. Your family is unique. You're different, and you need God. Amen. People have all kinds of plans, all kinds of ways of accomplishing certain things and say, "Hey, do this. This will help you." Well, it may have helped them, but where were they coming from? What, maybe that was what they needed, and maybe even God helped them get there through that. That doesn't mean you need the exact same thing. What you need is a custom tailored plan to get you where you need to be. And only God is smart enough to do that. Not knocking professionals that we go to. You can go and you can get help. But what we ought to be doing when we're listening to somebody is looking right on the inside and listening to them. And if something's quick, and say, "Yeah, that's what I need," or that. And you just know if something else is not, you just say, no, I hear what you're saying. I respect you. But no, that." And then they say something. "That is what I need. That's the answer." See, God can do that. Men can just give you their wisdom and their understanding. Do you really want some man's wisdom? I don't care if they're 100 years old, how they think you should handle a problem in their few decades on the earth. Or do you want the Almighty, the one that's been around forever, telling you what you need? No, we need Him. And we need the power of God in our life. You know, that doesn't just have to do with signs and wonders and healings and everything. The power of God, when you see something you've been dealing with for 5 years, in your relationships or in some area of your life, and it changes, not necessarily everything just changes in an instant, but something in you changes. Yeah. And so you go down and your life is different. You start making progress in an area that you haven't. God can do that. God can put something in you to change you. But we need the wisdom. That's the power of God. When you come to a point where you say, "I cannot do anything about this," but God's power comes in and He lifts you up. He says, "That's all right. I know how to get past this. I know how to do it." That's what we need. I said, that's what we need. Amen. And it's so easy in this day and age to say, "I don't need that. I don't." People say, "I don't need religion. I don't need God. It's a crutch." That's a lie. Yeah. Because if the enemy can get you over onto his ground and say, you don't need God, you've just cut off your answer. Amen. We need to remind ourselves when we come back, as we're going, even if we walked with God for a long time, that we come in and it's so easy to start leaning on our understanding and leaning on our flesh and leaning on our experience. And God's bringing us up. He's bringing us higher. And when He's bringing you higher, you don't necessarily feel comfortable because it's unfamiliar. And that's when your flesh wants to say, I've not been here before. What are you doing? I don't like this. That's when you need to rely on His goodness and His wisdom and say, no, God, you're stronger. You're more powerful. I'm relying on you. And that's when you see lasting change. When we rely on Him to do what only He can do. And not rely on ourselves. He said, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Not the Spirit, like people throw around these terms, and we can be guilty of it so flippantly. Well, the Spirit. Or, we're talking about the Spirit of Almighty God. The one that hovered over the earth when it was without form. The one that was there, the Almighty. The power of God. That's when we're talking about the Spirit, the Spirit's resident right here. If you're a born-again Christian, the Spirit is resident in you. But He also comes upon you, and He also comes upon people, and He's right here today. He's in our midst today. In a different way. Yes, you have a relationship. If you have a relationship with God, He goes with you wherever you go. But right now, as we're gathered together, He's here in a different way. He's among us. He is working in you right now. He's teaching you right now, if you'll be sensitive to it. He's prompting you right now on the inside. He's showing you. He can even be showing you and giving you answers right as I'm speaking on things that aren't related at all to what I'm saying. He's prompting you. He's saying, yeah, what about that? What about that? See, this, and that's not me. That's the Spirit of God. See, so many people have gotten off to where they're looking at church or preaching as well. Let's see what you got. Feed my mind. It's not that. You're not coming to hear a man. You're coming to hear the Almighty. And He anoints people to speak. He anoints men and women to speak. But as the Word's going forth, His Word is life and power, and He is quickening things to us in our natural life. Right now, He's giving us answers. We prayed for it. We believed for it before the service. That's why we do that. We don't do that out of ritual. We do that to get our hearts centered up on Him, saying, yes, teach me, show me. You give Him a legal access into your life to bring you up. You're saying, show me. In this earth, so many people are not asking Him to show Himself strong on their behalf. When you put yourself before Him and say, show me, He can come in and say, here's where it is. And right now He's doing that. He's quickening us. The Spirit of God is quickening us. He says, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That our faith is not in what man can tell us, what man can do, but in the power of God. His power, His word, His ways, which are higher than our ways. Let's turn over to Acts 2. Thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Acts 2, verse 41. It says, then they who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who have believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone needed. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You notice it was the Lord. We touched on this a couple weeks ago. I wanted to focus on it a little bit more today. The Lord added to the church daily. Do you know the Lord is the one that should be adding to our life in any area, not us? Does that mean we do nothing? No. But it's Him that gives us direction, gives us guidance, shows us how to do it, shows us what not to do, and the Lord is the one who adds. We ought to rely on Him. If we rely on ourselves, we're relying on our limited understanding. Yeah. I don't want to rely on my limited understanding. I don't know about you. Maybe you're much smarter than I am. But I only have a few decades on this earth, and I know I don't know what all I need to know, but He does. And so if I'll look to Him to build whatever it is I am, whatever He's asking me to do, whatever He asks you to do, don't build it yourself. That's so tempting, though. Well, okay, I got it, God. I got the assignment. Now watch this and go run off and try to do your best. That's not the way He meant it to work. What did we just read over in 1 Corinthians? No, not with wisdom of men. Not in eloquent speech. Paul said, no, in the power, the Spirit of God and power. That's how, you know, that doesn't just apply to preaching or ministering. That applies to every facet of our life. That applies to when you're on the job. You know, many of you know I'm a software engineer by trade, and I still do that full time. Manage a group now. But I don't do that by my own strength. I never have. I mean, when I started as a young engineer, I would ask God, and I learned to do it better over time. And sometimes I would just sit there and go, now learn something here. You can ask God to help you and then just expect it to dump on you and sit there and do nothing. And sometimes I would do that. I would hit a problem and go, God, show me, and I just expect to have a lightning bolt. Put it out in front of me. Show me. And nothing would happen. And then you get frustrated. Like, God, where are you? Some of you guys are laughing. No, it's tempting to do that. No, you okay, ask God and then act in faith. Like you have the answer. And when I started doing that, it took me a while to figure out exactly what I needed to do there. But that's why I'm telling you. When you ask Him, start acting like you have the answer. That means don't sit there and go, I just don't know. I still don't know. God, I thought I asked for wisdom. And sometimes you go back and re-pray the same thing. Do you know that's completely unbelief? Yeah. What are you saying? Well, He must not have heard me. Okay, God, will you show me? Give me wisdom in this area. And I'm sitting there. Don't feel any smarter. Don't feel any more enlightened. Don't know any more than I did before. God, can you give me wisdom in this area? It must be He didn't hear me, or I did it wrong or something, right? No. When I started to say, God, give me wisdom. James 1:5 became one of my favorite scriptures. We're talking about the wisdom of God, right? This is practically some of how you get it in your life, how He's going to build stuff. And let's turn over to James 1:5 real quick for those who aren't maybe familiar. James 1:5. This is where the rubber meets the road. We can talk about wisdom. We can talk about all this stuff. But we need to know how it applies when we're in the middle of life with issues, with things we don't know what to do with. James 1:5. Glory to God. Turn back. Just go back to verse 2. Just go back to verse 2. James 1:2. Thank God. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Woo! You got to do that by faith. Does anybody, when something happens to you that's not good, and you say, your first inclination is to praise God about it? No, your flesh, like we were talking about before, the sermon after praise and worship, your flesh wants to say, what? I just got done doing this, and this? You kidding me, right? And you can just go down that path. That's not a good thing, because that path leads to just darkness. No, he said to count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Because for the trial? No, he said, what does he say next? Knowing, we're supposed to know something, that the testing of your faith produces patience, or the margin of my Bible says endurance or perseverance. Your flesh doesn't like to hear that. Your flesh isn't doing cartwheels right now. But if we'll just say, okay, in the middle of this, I know something. That the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That word perfect means mature, not perfect, but mature. How you know when you're growing up some, when every little thing doesn't just get you all in a tizzy. When you hit something, you say, okay, now wait a minute. God's bringing me through this. This is not fun, but God is still on the throne. He is bringing me through it, and I'm going to see the other side. And I know that God is faithful. I know that He is with me. And I may have to endure some things. We're not saying that God is doing something, but we live in a fallen world. And what we need to know is that God is on our side. He is not against us. If He were against us, throw in the towel now. Forget it. If the Almighty's against you, you're done. That's why, anyway, you saw in the old, some people say, well, God was against them. God was only ever against people that opposed Him. He had no choice, but if He's going to be righteous and keep His word to His covenant people, He's got to oppose somebody that's opposing Him. It was not His choice. He did not want to do some of the things He did, but He had to keep His word. If He's going to protect these people and you're coming up against them, you're going down. People confuse that all the time. They say, God, see what God did? God didn't just randomly go out and do that to somebody. They came up against Him. And He not willingly, but had to react, or He wasn't righteous. That's something else. But we have to know He is on our side. And when these things come, trials of life come, James said, count it all joy, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, endurance. We ought to gird up and say, all right, I'm going through this. This is come. And like somebody said, this has come to pass. This will pass. This has come to pass. It's not going to stay. The devil wants to tell you, you're done. It's going to be there forever. You're going to have to live with this. And we can say, no, I know something. God is on my side, and this will pass. Verse 4, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now verse 5, where we're getting to. If any of you lacks wisdom, has anybody ever lacked wisdom? Yes, you don't know what to do about a situation. What should we do? Well, you ought to go into your closet or your bedroom and just lay across the bed and say, I don't know what to do. I have no idea what to do. Lord, help me. I have no idea. And then there's this, and then there's that, and I just don't know what to do. That's not the answer. That will get you darker and darker and darker. What should we do? He said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And it will. It says, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. That reproach means like a kind of a condescension, or like, really? Really, you're asking me that? God will never do that. We're nothing. Compared to the stature of the Almighty, we know nothing. When you're, you know, if you had a child or a grandchild and they're 2 or 3 and they come up and ask you a real easy question, do you go, you're what? You're asking me that? Don't you know that? But I mean, people don't react that way. Most people don't. you look at them and go, they don't know. They just need to be explained. Explain it to them. Well, God, when he's looking at us, he's going, poor soul, he doesn't know. He's not looking down on us. He loves the fact that somebody will come to him and ask him, because so many people are saying, I don't need God. Talk to the hand. I don't need him. And to somebody to come and say, I don't know what to do. I need you. He will never. He said he gives to all liberally. That means he just pours it out. He'll just dump it out. He'll say, here you go. Here's all I got. Here's what I'll give you, all you can take. And he will. He says he gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Notice that. It will be given to him. So go back to what we were talking about. We got over here talking about when you're asking him, what do? At that point, when you ask God for wisdom. So I'm sitting there at my desk, and a lot of times I would go, God, how? Okay, show me. I mean, real practical. You know, I'm writing software or firmware. You know, some of those early times I'm writing software, and I'm saying, God, show me where the bug, or show me what's the problem with this receiving module or whatever. Show me where it is. I just, you know, just real. What is it that you're dealing with? God, give me wisdom. Insight. My pastor used to say this. You heard me pray this. And all these things are in the Bible. Wisdom, insight, knowledge, and understanding in this situation. Show me what I need to know. Okay. So then you pray and you say, thank God for giving it to me. Now, note, just go read verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. Now you could make this hard, and people preach these things hard, but what's he saying? He said, if you ask, believe that he gave it to you, and he is who he just said. He says he gives liberally and without reproach. Let's read verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's the word of God, right? Now notice in context, verse 6. But let him ask in faith. What does that mean? You believe that he is good and that he will give it to you. Okay, with no doubting. And he said, because if that man, if you doubt, if you basically say, God, give me wisdom, and then like I was doing, sitting there, I don't feel any different. I don't have any epiphany of what to do pop into my mind, and then, well, I pray it again. So I'm doubting. I'm not praying in faith. I don't believe that he gave it to me. I don't believe that what he said, that he's actually doing it. I believe I have to do something to ask him again. Do you see that? What does James say about that? He says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Now, what does a wave of the sea do? Wherever the wind blows, that's where it's going to go. So I thought I asked for wisdom and God was going to give it to me, but now I don't see any different. I don't feel any different. I don't feel like I have the answer. So I sit there and I'm tempted to go, well, I got to pray again, or I just don't know why God didn't hear me, or I just don't know why God didn't answer me. And I would sit there and I get frustrated sometimes, and I wouldn't get any further in the problem. I'm just sitting there. I'm thinking that if God answered me, it's going to drop on me, like somebody said, like ripe cherries out of a tree. Just boom. But it doesn't happen that way. Because what has he said? Let him ask in faith. Now, if you ask God for wisdom and you believe that he gave it to you, you'll act different than if you're doubting. Because he said, let not that man suppose. What man? The guy that just says, well, I believe you. Well, now I don't believe you, because you dropped it. You asked, you thought you were asking God, but then you didn't really believe anything. You went off, well, I guess he didn't hear me. Why? Because of what I said. I'm not feeling anything. So I finally got to the place where I say, God, Lord, And I say, James 1:5, you said if we would ask you for wisdom, you give it to us. Lord, I'm asking you for wisdom. Lord, give me insight. Give me knowledge. Give me understanding in this situation. Show me what I need. Lord, thank you. And then I start acting like I had it. And then if I felt like, well, I don't see anything, but I have it, but he's showing me, and I go back and look over the same part of the coat again or something and say, God, I have it, and stay in the expectation, the mode of just thinking, I'm going to see it, something is going to change, something's different. I'm looking for the answer. See what? I'm different now. I believe that he gave it to me. I believe that he granted me wisdom, so I'm saying I have to see it. What's the difference? And I'd start looking over, and then boom, something would pop out at me, and I get it. It's done. I see, there it is, and I just say, thank you, God. I can't tell you how many times that happened. I remember one time I was sitting in my office in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. We had a house there while I was going to Rhema, and I worked part-time as an engineer all through that, and it was, you know, I could work, come home and work out of my office. I had my radio equipment set up there. I'd go to work in the morning, or go to Rhema in the morning and come and work all afternoon. I remember one specific thing. I had this one defect, this one bug, and it was some kind of really squirrely thing, and had come up, and I realized I have no clue. I don't even know where to begin to find this thing. Could be this timing issue. It could be just something. Bob knows what I'm talking about. He's an engineer, Len. Some, you know, there's certain things where there's certain issues that come up where it's pretty apparent where you need to start looking. And then there's things that it's like intermittent or it happens once in a while. You can't reproduce it. If you can't reproduce it, it's hard to gather data about it. And this is one of those things. I'm like, I don't have a clue. But God does. And I asked him, I said, God, show me. And I think I was feeling a little bit of pressure because we're trying to get this thing done. And it came upon this. I was like, I don't know where this is. I said, God, show me where this is. And within a few minutes, he pinpointed where it was in the software. And I said, that's it. And I fixed it. And it was just, I mean, I didn't spend a lot of time debugging the thing. I cut through and I knew, put my finger on it. Well, I mean, I didn't put my finger on it. God showed me. That stuck out. I mean, that sticks out me today because it was so different. I mean, it was just boom. There it is. And he'll do that with all of us. It would just, he's not, I'm not telling you, well, this is what you ought to do because look at me. No, he is good. He's higher than all of us. And if any of us will ask him, he'll do the same thing for any of us. It's not us, it's him. We just say, God, I need your help. The key, though, is don't keep crying about it and say, oh, I need your help, and when are you going to give it to me? That's what James is talking about. You're not believing that he's a good God and that he's actually answered you. I'm just getting looks. Because so many people are here. They're waiting to feel something and say, God, and I know you can be really pressed and pushed and something can be pushing on you. But if we sit there and go, God, I asked you, but you're just not show me, I feel something. You just keep hashing it out. You're not believing anything. You're not taking anything. You're not marching ahead and saying, you said it, I asked it, I have it, here it comes, and I'm believing you're a good God, you're answering. And I'll see it. Amen. You see the difference. That's what James is talking about. If you're pushed around, something happens, and oh, it popped up, I just don't believe it, and I don't know, but now I heard something, now I'm strong, but then I say something, now I just don't know. That's like the wave, just... And the Bible says you won't receive like that. And people have twisted this to, you know, I could beat you over the head with this. We could get beat over the head. Well, you just don't believe. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying if you don't take God at his word and you go every which way, you won't be able to receive because you won't just lock in and say that's mine and go forward and take God at his word. You see this? God will teach us, every one of us, right where we're at. We got here because, you know, we talked about me being an engineer, but whatever you are in, you run a business, teach school, you know, you run a Bible school, any number of things, work as an engineer, whatever you do, God knows exactly how to navigate those situations that you are faced with. He knows exactly how to get you where you need to be. He knows exactly how to run it, and we are not supposed to do it ourselves. Amen. We are not made to have all the smarts and all the wisdom to do everything ourselves. You can get trained, you can get developed, you can get, we're not talking about not having education, but it's not enough. I'm a trained software engineer, but I ran up against problems, and anybody that's done anything professionally knows you're going to run up against problems that your training did not teach you. This is why if you have 15 years of experience in a trade, you're supposed to be more valuable than the guy that just got out of school, right? Because you maybe ran against some of the textbook situations, but you also run against some other things they didn't teach you in school. And buddy, let me show you what you really do here. Right? Well, if we're smart, we can go to God and say, right from the beginning, God, I don't know everything. And Lord, I believe I'm supposed to get trained in this area, or I believe I'm supposed to work in this area. And that's what I believe you've called me to do. Now show me how to do it. And rely on Him daily to do it. Not, well, I feel really weak right now, so I'm going to go and pray to God. But then when I get everything sewed up, then I'm okay. I don't really need God, and kind of stick Him in the back seat. You'll be in the same situation in another couple weeks. I'd much rather. And we pray daily when we're going to bed with the kids. Lord, You give us everything we need, the wisdom for the next day. Show us what we need to do. Enlighten us in everything we need to do the next day. You go, and then you go and expect it while you're going through the day. And if you run up against something, show me how to handle this. Show me how to talk to that person. Show me what words to say. Show me the answer to this problem. You are relying on Him all the time. Amen. Pulling on Him. You come up, somebody picks up the phone and calls you, your phone rings, and you have an emergency or something. Somebody's asking you something. Just under your breath, you're just saying, you don't have to have some long prayer. You just, God, help me. Show me. Give me wisdom here. And you're talking to the person. You're expecting now. The words out of my mouth are going to be good. I'm going to say the right thing. I don't say the wrong thing. I'm saying the right thing. Oh, that's good. Amen. We ought to live like this. This is where we want to live because we are strong this way. It's not us then. It's us plus the Almighty. Really, mostly Him. We're just walking out everything. We're being His hands and feet here on this earth. But He's guiding us. He's showing you. He'll lead you into things you could not have thought up. You couldn't have dreamed up. You're not smart enough. You don't have the connections. But He knows what you need to do. Amen. Amen. And then when we go through and we say certain things, and when you say, no, show me what to say. Show me what to do. And if you say the wrong thing, don't say, I prayed, why did I say the wrong thing? This, more than ever, is when you say, I say the right thing. Yeah. Yeah. Did you hear me? Yeah. This is when, when stuff's clicking, you say, oh yeah, God's answer. But when you ask and you do something stupid anyway, or the symptoms don't look like they're changing, this is when you say, I said, yeah. I say the right thing at the right time. And you hold to what you said. Otherwise, you're being like what James said. You think, you know, you didn't see exactly what you thought you should see. And now you're going, well, I don't. Now you're doubting God. Now you're doubting if you can hear. Now you're going into darkness. No, you, regardless of what you see, regardless if you think you made the right decision, regardless if something doesn't turn around in 30 seconds, you still say, no, but He's showing me. No, but He's showing me. No, but He's showing me. No, I see the answer. I don't care if it's been 3 days and you've been beating your head up against a problem. You say, no, but He's showing me. No, but He's showing me. I have the wisdom of God. I prayed for it. It's coming. I don't see it yet. That has nothing to do with anything. My God is showing me what to do. If it's been 3 weeks, you're saying, no, God is showing me. He's bringing me out. He's showing me what I need to do. I'm learning. I'm getting through this. I see myself on the other side. Amen. 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 God is so much higher than us. And if we can get to where we are not relying on this thing, but we're relying on the Spirit of God, the Spirit and the power of God to get us through what we need to get through, we will do what we need to do on this earth. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just read a couple of these scriptures off your sheet. And praise God. James 4, 6. What does it say? He gives more grace. Hallelujah. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives favor. He gives help to the humble, the one that comes and asks him. He said he'll give you favor. Verse 7, notice this. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Notice this. So many times we quote the latter part of the verse. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Notice it in context, though. It says, submit to God. If you submit to him and you're in what the place that you're supposed to be doing, you're saying, God, whatever, I'm here. I'm doing what you need me to do. Lord, show me how to do it. And then the devil pops his head up and you resist him. He will flee. But you're doing what you think you ought to do. I'm going to go do what I need to do and I'm just going to resist the devil. He ain't going to flee. Because our power is not in us. It's in him. And if we're doing what he told us to do, there is nothing. The devil has to flee. Because you're standing. When you say, I resist you, you have the power of Almighty God backing you up, which is the only thing that's going to make the devil do anything. He's not afraid of you. He's not afraid of me. James 4, 7, just read a couple of these. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourself. Go to him. Ask him. Romans 12, 14, or let's just go to 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Look to him. Look to him. Galatians 6, verse 3. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives who? Himself. No, we're to look to him. This is a precious thing before God when we come to him and say, God, I don't know. You show me. He can work with that. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Let's read a couple more. Romans 12, 3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And then let's read Zechariah 4, 6. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The wisdom of God, not by our power, not by our wisdom, not by our strength, but by his. That's where we go. And he said he'd help us, he'd strengthen us, he'd get us where we need to be, relying on him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.